The second lesson is a reading from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Et cum Pentecostus advenisset, erat omnes pariter in eodem loco, et factus et subito de cielo sonis, tamquam spiritus vehementis, et replevit totum domum ubi erant sedantes, et apparerunt illis linguae disperse, tamquam ignis, sedique supra singulos erum, et replete sunt omnes spiritus sancto, et cooperant loci veriis linguis, porut spiritus dabat eloqui illis.
Había entonces en Jerusalén judíos, hombres piadosos de todas las naciones bajo del cielo, y al producirse este sonido, la multitud se congregó y quedó desconcertada, porque cada uno los oía hablar en su propia lengua. Estaban asombrados y atónitos, diciendo, ¿acaso no son galileos todos estos que están hablando? ¿Y cómo es que nosotros oímos, cada uno en su propia lengua natal?
Parthoi, kai medoi, kai elimite, kai hoi katoikuntos tes mesopotamien, judaion, tekai kapodakien, ponton, kai ten asien, phugien, tekai pamphulien, agupton, kai tamere tes libues, tes katakurenen, kai hoi epidemuntes romaioi, judaioi, tekai proselutoi, Cretes kai Arabes, acuamen lelunton auton, tais hemateris glossais, ta megalea tu Theu, existanto dipantas, kai diaporun, allos pros allon legantes, tiantele tutu anai.
Doch anderes betoten und sagten, sie sind mit neuem Wein gefüllt. Petrus aber trat zusammen mit den Elf auf, erhob seine Stimme und redete sie an. Ihr Männer von Judäa und alle, die ihr in Jerusalem wohnt, die es sie euch kundgetan und like meinen Worten gehör. Denn diese Leute sind nicht betrunken, wie ihr meint. Es ist ja erst die dritte Stunde des Tages, sondern dies ist das, was durch den Propheten Joel verkündet wurde.
Na itakuwa siku za mwisho, Mungu asema, nitamimina roho yangu juu ya watu wote wenye mwili, na wana wenu na binti zenu watatabiri, na vijana wenu wataona maono, na wazee wenu wataota ndoto. Hata juu ya watumishi wangu, wa kiume na wa kike, katika siku hizo, nitamimina roho yangu nao watatabiri.
Na nebi anazemi, za zatvia zvlastne znamenaya, kurv ohen astilpi dimu, silken sa zatmia, a mesiates buddha chervene, a kokur skur, nej pride velki aslavni den panova, lenten kto hu uznava za zvojopana, bude zakranini.
So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day, those who were being saved. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, before I begin, I just want to say thank you to all of our readers for that multilingual expression of the gospel that transcends all nations, all languages that we remember this Pentecost. Thank you especially to Fred Ruppel organizing all of those readers and bringing that together. But that was just a really lovely, lovely thing for us to bear witness to this morning. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have gone to the Father so that you can send your Spirit. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to fill us now, to draw our hearts and our minds to your word, to bring us to a deeper understanding, to bring us to a deeper love of you and your gospel and the mission that you send us out into the world. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. This feast of Pentecost we celebrate today is the fulfillment of the promise of Emmanuel, that God is with us and now in us. Pentecost is the birth of the Church of Jesus Christ, which exists across all nations and cultures and people, and is here on earth a witness of what will be in heaven, where every tribe, every tongue, every nation will bow down and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So the gifts and the giving of the Holy Spirit is the catalyst of the kingdom of God coming into this world, breaking down all barriers that are between us, making us one in Christ. So today I want to draw our attention to the work of the Holy Spirit in us individually and as the church, in how the Spirit of God brings us into a deeper union and a deeper unity, a deeper union with Christ individually and a deeper unity together corporately. So first, let's look at how the Holy Spirit brings us into union with Christ, each one of us. We read in Acts chapter 2 that Pentecost arrives. The Spirit descends from heaven with the sound of a rushing wind, tongues of fire resting on each one of the disciples individually. The fire is divided among them, not diluted in its power, but a gift given to each one. So the believers gathered are each one of them filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to sing and to speak the praises of God in many different tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. A gift of the Spirit poured out to them, inspiring them to speak the praises of God. They are filled with the Spirit, filled with the Lord Jesus himself. That's who the Holy Spirit is. I just want to be clear about that. That's the presence of Jesus himself, dwelling within us, in each one. Jesus said that it was better for him to go away, because then he would send another helper, another advocate or counselor, the Holy Spirit. In John 14, he used that word another, saying one just like himself, because he's the same essence, the same substance as Jesus. He's the Spirit of truth, as Jesus calls him, the Spirit of God, who is Jesus. So the Lord Jesus bodily ascended into heaven, and he's descending, giving the gift of the Holy Spirit to dwell within the hearts of each believer. And as St. Augustine said, God does not give a gift inferior to himself. God does not give a gift inferior to himself. That's what we receive on this day of Pentecost. And just as the disciples on that first Pentecost were filled with the Holy Spirit, so we here today are called to be filled in the same way. Throughout the New Testament, this is the witness that we would be filled with the Spirit. We would walk in the Spirit. We would live by the Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to have Him dwell in our hearts, to live a life yielded to Him and His Lordship, His direction, and His desire to bring us to Jesus. So this is the Lord Jesus wanting to give Himself to you by His Spirit. What the Holy Spirit does is binding us to Jesus, making us part of the body of Christ, making us holy as He sanctifies us from the inside out. He does this by bringing us into a union with Jesus. This relationship that's a oneness, where I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. This is a relationship we're invited into that is deeper and more intimate and more wonderful than anything else we can know. Well, the Holy Spirit makes clear that I'm not inviting Jesus to be part of my life, but Jesus is inviting me to be part of His life, submitted to His glory. Our lives are recentered around Jesus and not ourselves. So the Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus binding you to Himself, filling you with His love and with His fire that purifies, fire that animates and energizes and empowers us, that gives us spiritual gifts, enabling us to be witnesses to Jesus. Look at the Apostle Peter, as we read in Acts 2, that there was a fire lit in his heart and in his words that go forth to proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior. Peter is this uneducated, unassuming, kind of brash, bordering on dumb fisherman who had not long ago abandoned and denied Jesus. Now he's preaching with conviction and power to thousands because he's filled with the Spirit. Peter had known Jesus before. He'd walked with him for 3 years or more. But now, with the Holy Spirit inside him, he could truly know Jesus because he dwelt in his heart by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit can do this for you as well. To come to you, to fill you, bind you to Jesus, purifying your heart and your mind, transforming your life, and empowering you to be a witness for His gospel. Because the Holy Spirit brings us into all truth. Who is truth? Jesus is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. The Spirit helps us see the reality of Jesus as the Lord of heaven and earth, the Savior of the world, and the Word that holds all things together. It's the Holy Spirit that brings us deeper into that reality. We're not coming into one truth among others. We're coming into the reality that binds the universe together. The Holy Spirit helps us to see that for me to know that I'm not the Lord. I'm not the center of the universe, but Jesus is. And the Spirit empowers me to live my life for Him. So it's this union with Jesus by the Holy Spirit that's the necessary humility to submitting to Him as Lord. Humility, remember, is just proper self-awareness before God. Knowing who we really are. Knowing who He really is. That's what humility is. That's what grounds humility. So that's what the Holy Spirit does. Helps us to know who Jesus really is. Helps us to know who we truly are. Binding us to Him and His body. Helping us to know the truth. Are you in a place where you feel like your faith isn't truly alive? Or maybe that it's no fun to follow Jesus? Or you're stuck in unfruitfulness or stagnation? Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to bring you into a deeper union with Jesus Christ, to light that fire in you that makes this relationship the greatest adventure, the deepest joy, the most satisfying and life-giving life imaginable. So the gift of the Holy Spirit, this union with Christ, is available to each one of us as the Spirit fills and dwells with each person individually. And in this union with Christ, he brings us into a deeper unity together as the body of Christ. So our union with Christ individually in the Spirit leads to our unity in Christ together by the Spirit. Because the Spirit helps to humble us as he exalts and glorifies Jesus in us, when all of us as individuals are doing that together, it brings about a deep unity and a powerful unity. We look at the Tower of Babel, our Old Testament reading. It's placed here in the lectionary on this day to show that Pentecost is the redemption of Babel. Pentecost doesn't undo the curse of Babel, like it's not that the Holy Spirit makes us all speak one language again. But Pentecost is the redeeming of language as it's submitted to the glory of Christ in the Holy Spirit. So, back up a little bit. Think about the sin of Babel. What was the sin of Babel? The sin of those who were building that tower was to try to make a name for themselves, trying to ascend to heaven by their own efforts, to become like God, removing all limitations. They were building a stairway to heaven, seeking to accomplish salvation on their own apart from God. The Tower of Babel is the ultimate symbol of worldly, idolatrous rebellion against God. It's the precursor to Babylon, the city of man set against the city of God. And it represents the sin of every age. Even going back to the garden where the temptation was, you shall be like God. The temptation in our age is to say, I want to remove limits. I need to exalt myself, to self-actualize, and to make myself the best I can be. Think about the Tower of Babel. They had a great unity. They were united. They had the same language, the same words. They were united in their rebellion against God, the idolatry of self-exaltation, and this shared language. They had a unity built on sin. But any unity that is not built on Jesus Christ is going to end up failing. It's going to lead us to destruction. And so God's judgment comes in confusing their languages, scattering them to the nations, because he doesn't want people to destroy themselves. And Pentecost comes, and the Holy Spirit redeems languages through this gift of tongues, redeems languages and cultures to the glory of Christ. Not removing distinctions, but removing barriers. That the gospel can overcome and speak a louder and more clearer truth than language in itself can. And the Holy Spirit will crash down our towers of self-exaltation and pride and self-centeredness, because the Holy Spirit is in us to glorify Jesus. So this is the Spirit's work in bringing us into union with Christ, where I'm no longer centered in the story, but Jesus is. The holy fire burns away and destroys my towers of self-exaltation, my attempts at trying to be like God. And because the Spirit brings us individually into union with Jesus, where he's Lord and we are not, then we can have a deeper and truer unity with one another, as we're bound together in the body of Christ. Because our hearts are not fixated on ourselves, they are fixed on Jesus as Lord. We are united to one another because we are united to Jesus. There was a false unity, a sinful unity at the Tower of Babel that the Lord needed to break down so that he could build in us a true unity in the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit shows us this in the outpouring of the gift of tongues, this miraculous gift of languages spoken by the disciples that are unknown to them but known among the nations. This is the redemption of Babel, showing us something about God's purposes with the Spirit, bringing us into a deeper unity, a transcendent unity where language is no longer a barrier, but an opportunity for the gospel to spread more broadly to the ends of the earth. Think about that. Language is no longer a barrier, but an opportunity for the gospel to spread. That's what the Spirit is doing, giving us power to be witnesses to Jesus in Jerusalem and Judea and all Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And whereas with Babel the people scatter in judgment as they exalt themselves, here the Holy Spirit scatters the body of Christ to the ends of the earth in order to exalt Jesus. We see this unity of the Spirit in glorifying Jesus on display at the end of Acts 2, which we read that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, the breaking of the bread and the prayers. They shared all things in common. They were united in their worship of God and their living for Jesus. The Holy Spirit brought together these sinful, diverse people, even adding thousands to their number day by day, bringing them into a unity that is deeper than what any culture or language or nationality can bring. And that's why in the church, our unity together is not and can never be rooted in our nationality, in our ideologies, in our skin color, in our socioeconomic status, in our politics or preferences or anything else. If we try to root our unity in these things, it will fail. It will lead to rebellion against God. But our unity in the Spirit is in Jesus Christ, because we belong to Him and we belong to one another in the Holy Spirit. This is where true unity can only be found, in Christ, in submission to God through this humility, where Jesus is Lord and I am not. That's brought about by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's union with Christ that can bring about a unity with one another. This is what the Holy Spirit brings to us at Pentecost. And this is what we should be expectantly praying for, asking for, waiting for. A deeper and truer union with Christ. A deeper and truer unity with one another in Christ. And in this unity of the Spirit, He will send us out to be His witnesses to the ends of the earth, so that every tribe, every tongue, every nation and people will come to know and worship Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. This is why our unity together is something we need to keep striving for. We need to keep pressing into becoming what we are in the Spirit. Because our unity is a crucial witness to the gospel. So as we go out into the world, if we proclaim a message of unity and truth and salvation in Jesus, and yet we are fighting and have division and dissension among us, we're undercutting the very message we proclaim. We show the power of the gospel in our love and care for one another. We show the power of the gospel in our graciousness and patience with one another. We show the power of the gospel, of our coming together across divides that the world wants to put in place between us. We show forth the power of the gospel because we belong to someone greater than ourselves. Because in the Holy Spirit, we belong to Jesus Christ. We belong to one another. We have union with Christ and so unity with one another for the glory of God. This is what we make our prayer, that the Holy Spirit would come and do this mighty work in us. He has given us a taste. We have tasted and seen of His goodness, and we know there is more to come. There is more that the Spirit wants to pour out amongst us. There is more the Spirit wants to do through us as a church to bear witness to Jesus. So let's pray together. Come, Holy Spirit. Would you come and rest on us? Bring each one of us into a deeper union with Jesus. Bring each one of us together into a deeper unity corporately. Would you renew us? Would you fill us Unite us to yourself and to one another. Empower us. Pour out your gifts. Set us on fire and send us out for the glory of Jesus Christ. We make this prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.